Check it out.
Welcome to Top of the Class. Hear from education experts and get insights from high achievers to learn how you can do the same.
Get into those top schools.
Ready?
Proudly presented by Crimson Education, the world's leader in university admission support.
Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Top of the Class podcast. I am delighted to be joined by none other than Bob Fan. I am a fan of Bob Fan. I hope you, I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I'm a big fan. Talk to me a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we'll get into the topic for the day of career planning through high school.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Alex. This is such an honor to be on the podcast. But yeah, my name is Bob Fan. I'm Canadian. I was born in China, but grew up in Canada. Like many of the students that we work with, many of the students here at CGA, went through an exploration period while I was in high school of thinking of going abroad for university. And so, you know, being in Canada, I had choices of great universities, but my parents had, you know, kind of really opened me up to this idea of studying abroad, studying in the US instead of staying in Canada, right? At the time, you know, we lived on a border city between Canada and the US. So it was just very normal for, you know, to be influenced by a lot of things that were American. And so, yeah, I went to school at the University of Michigan in the US. I studied biology. And then after that, my parents at the time were working abroad in Shanghai, China. After college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do next, whether it was maybe go back for school, find a job, what career, right? What specific path? So I joined them in Shanghai, China. And my first job that I found outside of college was in admissions consulting. And that's what I've been doing as a career for the past 11 or so years. So, you know, I've helped hundreds of students around the world get into their dream universities all around the world. And now here at CGA, I'm the university and careers counselor.
Awesome. Awesome. And for those students who don't know, when we say CGA, we refer to our online high school, Crimson Global Academy, of which I am also an admissions officer. But one of the things that, you know, I brought you onto the show for, Bob, is that I'm particularly interested in careers. Like, I think it's such a misunderstood area of education. I feel like, generally speaking, the reality of choosing careers has leapt very far ahead of the practice of teaching careers. And, you know, we're still meeting students who are like, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer. And I'm like, that sounds like we're from 40 years ago, right? You know, like when the reality of the future of work feels more kind of computer science or these types of things, which, you know, doesn't come up as often as I thought it would in conversations with students. But I know you have like an introductory call with new CGA students when they join. What does that typically look like in terms of, you know, trying to figure out where they might go and what subjects they might choose? And then, you know, the advice for listeners based off of those conversations that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, of course, it depends greatly on, it's strongly correlated to the age of the student, right? The younger the student is, typically they have a good idea of the subjects that they like. They probably have a much better idea of the subjects that they dislike rather than the subjects that they like. And then, you know, they may have an idea of the future career path that they may want to take. I would say for younger students, that's definitely going to be more influenced by either, you know, parental pressure, parental influences, right? And then, of course, you know, as students get older, the subjects that they take become more focused. And so these things come into the light, right? You know, the subjects that they're very passionate about, what subjects that those might lead to as a future major that they would study in college, university, wherever they, you know, their post-secondary education takes them. And then, of course, how that all may be linked to a specific career that they're interested in.
That sounds like a very interesting chat. I am interested in how you take a student from, you know, the limited number of subjects that they can interact with during high school to then making a decision about a major, where at university, there is sometimes, you know, multitudes more choices than what a student would have in high school. And I think that's why a lot of students gravitate towards these, you know, doctor or lawyer, these types of things, because they're familiar with them. And then they look at the number of choices that they have for university and they're like, wow, there's just so many more options than I originally thought. How do you navigate that process for students who are a little bit later on in high school and they're like, yeah, I want to be a doctor? Do you ever like challenge them on that? Do you ever say, why? Like, what does that look like for you? What's your previous experience? And then maybe help them try and figure out like, what are their other options outside of that narrow path?
Absolutely. I think that that's, you know, definitely one of the first things or one of the first conversations that we would have, even for the students who are, you know, seemingly very set on this idea of studying something other than, you know, the really common ones that we hear, right? Like being a doctor or being a lawyer, right? It's absolutely important to kind of get to the bottom of exactly, you know, where that interest came from, right? Like, you know, what's the kind of origin of their interest in that specific career, what they've done before, what they really think a day in the life of doing that might entail, right? And, you know, a lot of students don't understand the pathway to getting there as well, right? You know, everyone wants to be a doctor, everyone wants to be a lawyer, but, you know, they may see the glamorous sides from watching TV shows or, you know, I think that that's super popular now, right? Is getting your kind of like impression of what this career might be like from, you know, watching a TV show or maybe even watching YouTube. But then of course, right, what the realistic side is might be a completely different story for these students. So absolutely, you know, challenging them, asking questions, making sure to understand exactly kind of the evolution of their interests, making sure that they have a realistic picture of, you know, what that career entails and what the pathway to get there entails as well, right? And I think it's very important, you know, as an educator to kind of poke holes or point out the inconsistencies in their stories as well, right? Like sometimes, you know, students, they want to study medicine, but they hate science, right? Or, you know, some aspect of science, or, you know, some students, they want to do a certain thing, right? But, you know, one component of it, a very important component, is something that they don't like, right? And so, you know, you kind of get to see like, okay, well, these students are probably very influenced by parental pressures, right? Which, yeah, certainly do exist.
Right. Yeah. One thing that I tend to say to students a lot is to be industry focused rather than necessarily a, you know, point in a career or like a specific role within an industry. So there is, for instance, so many ways for a student or a professional, you know, in any case, to engage with the medical industry or the law industry or whatever. You know, you don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be the one particular role that you're aware of. You could work in marketing for a hospital, right? And you know, you could be an accountant for a hospital and still be in the medical industry, but doing the accounts type of thing. So I usually say to students, like, if you are in that situation where you really want to, you know, you're gravitating towards a role, but your academic background doesn't necessarily suit that role, is that kind of where you might say to students, like, hey, like, that's still an option for you to work in that broader industry, but just not that specific role?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, it's very important for students to understand, you know, again, right, what they like to do, what types of, you know, concepts, what types of interactions, what types of passions they might have and how those might be connected to a specific industry, but also really important for them to understand what they don't like, right? And, you know, kind of the non-negotiable things that they just don't want to be doing, right? Like, you know, people who are, let's say, like super social, right? You know, they're not going to be stuck sitting in a lab doing like lab work, right? You know, without any sort of like human interaction. And I think the flip side is true as well, right? Students who, you know, are more solitary or more, you know, don't derive pleasure, let's say, right, from like having constant interactions every day, right? Maybe, you know, it doesn't suit them to be in an environment or an industry where they have to constantly talk to people, right? So yeah, absolutely. Having students understand that, you know, they might be passionate about a certain thing, right? But they might like the idea of that job, or they might like the idea of that industry more so than that specific job within that industry.
Sometimes, like, a common question that I have for students is, you know, if they say, oh, I hate maths, or, you know, I hate whatever subject, I say to them, is that teacher dependent or is it content dependent? Like, is it just the fact that you have had a bad experience with your current teacher and that's why you hate maths? Or is it the fact that you do not like the content? Or is it a combination of the two? Because I feel like students who have those influences, like, really early on in their schooling, it can totally change the course of their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you kind of like help students who are in that situation to come to you and they're like, I hate a subject, and yet their future career path seems to align with the subject that they hate?
100%. Yeah. Like you said, you know, just like we have very influential mentors, teachers in our lives who completely change the way that we, you know, look at a certain subject or course or major and influence our career paths, the opposite is, you know, sadly true as well, right? We have so many students who, yeah, come in and say, you know, I hate this subject, or, you know, it just doesn't click with me, right? And I would say more often than not, in my experience, right, that's definitely due to either the teacher or just the overall experience, right? I think that, you know, not necessarily bad teachers, but just maybe, you know, the experience that they have at school, that class, the way that it's taught or whatever it is, just might not be clicking with them, right? I think that, you know, maybe approach this in two ways. One is reality check, right? Like you said, you know, for some students who say they don't like a certain subject or they can't handle it, yet their future stated future career or major really heavily involves that, you know, it really is just about giving them that hard reality check. Like, that's, I'm sorry, but, you know, your career, if you want to work in finance, let's say, right, will heavily involve math or something like that, right? And it's just, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like, that's just what it is, right? It's unavoidable. You might not have to be the best at this, right? But it's a heavy part of, you know, what you'll study, right? So, you know, you'll have to improve, right? That's, you know, a part of it, I think. I think the other part is really digging into, like you said, you know, what is the root cause of why they don't like that subject, right? Is it a specific concept within that whole subject, right? Like, maybe it's like, you know, you're okay with math, right? But you just really hate, I don't know, like quadratics or something like that. And that one experience is dragging down your entire kind of impression, right? And I think for a lot of students, you know, it's like just looking at their overall report, right? You know, if they're getting A's in all other subjects, but they're getting C's, right, in math, it's like, you know, they absolutely have the ability to do well in math, right? It might just take a lot more time, right? And that's okay as well. I think that, you know, it's okay to understand that there are some subjects that we do click with and they come to us much easier, right? We spend less time doing well in them. And there are some subjects that, you know, it just takes more time, right, to get better at that subject. And that's okay.
Yeah. Now, we were talking off air about the classic three students that you probably come across on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And this is particularly the case for Australian, New Zealand students who, and I think the UK as well,
sure,
where, you know, students are encouraged to make a choice straight after high school. They have to pick something, right? And the typical advice, poor students, I talk about this on my show quite a lot. And a lot of the students who I have on the show speak about how this particular advice is rather useless, which is follow your passion.
Sure.
Right. I tend to think it's very vague. I think, you know, when you say that to year 10, 11, you know, 15, 16 year old kids, they look around and they'd be like, I don't know what my passion is. And so then you end up with three types of students. You've got your number one, the student who has no idea what their passion is, no idea what they want to do at university. Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, by the way. I think it always leads to, you know, open doors. They keep their eyes open and ears open for different opportunities. So I don't think it's a bad thing at all. The second one is the student who really knows what they want to do. Good on them. They might have an in-depth insight. And then the third student who is telling everybody that they know what they want to do and perhaps even telling their parents that they know what they want to do. But deep down, they're like having massive anxiety that that's the right path for them. Or, you know, they're just kind of saying it to get the monkey off their back type of thing.
100%.
So talk to me about your kind of thoughts on those three broad types of students. And do you spot the people who are a little bit faking it? And for the students who don't know what they want to do or don't know what their passion is, how do you kind of reduce their anxiety about that too?
Yeah. I think just like first, you know, talking about this idea of like follow your passions, right? I mean, I totally agree what you said, right? You know, if that's the only piece of advice that students are given, right? Follow your passion. Of course, it's like super vague, right? What are you meant to do with that? You know, and how does that necessarily translate into a major at university, into a career post-university, right? It's, you know, it's really like too open-ended for students to take, right? And do something with. But I think that, you know, it is important for students to understand or know, right? At that point, they should know what types of things that they're passionate about, right? Like, for example, you know, a student might not be passionate about accounting because, of course, you know, who actually does like experience or actually have that kind of experience in high school, but they might be really passionate at like, you know, solving problems, right? And, you know, they might know that they love working with numbers, right? They like working with spreadsheets. Maybe they like, you know, certain aspects of accounting, right? Like, you know, finding issues, right? With, you know, like, let's say a balance sheet or something like that, right? And these are the types of things that students know might translate into a future career. So I think, yeah, like finding your passion is probably somewhere in like, you know, a career is probably somewhere at the nexus of, you know, finding what your passions are, what you like to do, right? And, you know, there's an element of practicality in that as well, right? But yeah, speaking about these three types of students, you know, first type of student, I think that this is very normal, right? The student who doesn't really know what they want to do yet. I think it's completely normal at the very beginning of high school or younger than that, right? And for these students, I think it's just a healthy dose of, you know, exploration, right? For them, right? Taking a varied slate of subjects, right? For sometimes for these students, you know, maybe they haven't encountered subjects that are a little bit more specialized, let's say, right? Like these students haven't taken economics or they haven't taken psychology yet, right? And you know, these are two common classes I see that really open a lot of eyes for students, right? They right. expose them to new concepts, new ways of thinking, right? That are, you know, connected to your possible future majors or careers, right? So lots of exploration for these students, definitely a lot of exploration outside of school as well, right? I think that, you know, it's our job here at our school to educate students, right? But also, you know, students have some responsibility in, you know, exploring their interests outside of school as well, right? Whether that's through, you know, learning about topics that they're interested in online that they might not be covering in school, whether it's like, you know, exploring friends and family's jobs and careers as well, right? Mm. So that's definitely, I think, incumbent upon students to kind of take that responsibility and do that outside of school as well.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about extracurriculars. That was going to be my next question. So sure. points for the segue. But yeah, I think it's an interesting thing that I tend to say to younger students that a lot of, you know, when you say to a younger student, what do you like or what are you interested in? They'll often define themselves by an interest in a subject,
sure.
Which is great, but it's also a little narrow. And it's often better for students to have a broad range of extracurriculars because then they might be able to define themselves by like, oh, I'm part of the environmental club, I'm interested in the environment, or I'm part of the social justice club, I'm interested in social justice. So it becomes, instead of just like a subject specific interest, it becomes this kind of like connected to the wider world and possible career paths thereafter. So what do you see as some of like the, you know, you mentioned economics and psychology being kind of like game changing subjects potentially in terms of helping students see what potential career paths could be. Is there any extracurriculars that have that same kind of impact on students, you know, in kind of like helping them decide careers?
Yeah, you know, exactly like you said, I think extracurriculars are such an important part of this kind of discovery process, right? Not only for, of course, careers, right? But soft skill wise as well, right? Students finding out, you know, what they're good at, what they like, you know, what types of interactions they're strong at, right? What their passions are in terms of, you know, their kind of relationships with others, right? So I think, I mean, extracurriculars are really important because they are applied knowledge, right? Like, you know, you learn certain things in school, like you learn math, for example. Right. But until you're actually, let's say, the treasurer of, you know, an organization that you're part of, right, you never really apply that math in high school and maybe some actual like real life situation. Right. So I think that, of course, these are the types of, you know, situations that students should put themselves in to really apply the knowledge that they've learned. Right. And there might be students who like, you know, they love math, but then they have to use it in these real world scenarios and they find it like maybe a little bit boring, right? Or not as interesting as they would have liked, right? And that's okay too, right? Then they know, you know, perhaps they aren't suited for that type of career or learning that type of specific major. So yeah, I would say like, you know, any sort of extracurricular activity that forces students to take the knowledge that they've learned in a specific subject in school and apply it in kind of real world scenarios, problem solving scenarios where they're working with others, right, is probably, you know, kind of the best, you know, situation that they can put themselves in, right, to mirror what they might be doing in the future, right? So, you know, whether that's leading a club to, or, you know, participating in, let's say, like a business type competition, like a case competition, right? Or whether it's, like I said before, you know, student being a treasurer of a certain organization, right? All of these are great, great situations for students to put themselves in.
Yeah, I think this gives us a chance to kind of spruik the extracurriculars at CGA. Because sure. One of the things, I know you oversee that side of things. I really love the extracurriculars that CGA does. But, you know, for the reason that they are kind of career focused or apply a lot of what students are learning at school in that extracurricular, I find that particularly here in Australia and elsewhere around the world, I'm sure that there is a huge amount of emphasis at schools, you know, in terms of do sport, do music, right? Like the two main extracurriculars. I used to do presentations all around Australia and I'd say, you know, well, when you think of the, you know, word extracurriculars, what are the two things that come to mind? And sport and music kind of far and away the most common, but very rarely for, you know, unless you're an elite athlete or unless you're, you know, an incredible musician, it won't necessarily lead to a career. Whereas, you know, like the stock investing club that we have at CGA, like that's a proper life skill or anything 100%. Else that we have at CGA. So talk us through, I guess, like how you see the extracurriculars at CGA and, you know, do you ever have that kind of purpose of giving students an insight into their future careers through those extracurriculars?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, there's sport and music are just simply, I think, extracurriculars that are all widely available anywhere, right? And, you know, probably at the lowest barrier to entry, no matter where you are in the world, right? Like, you know, students can pick up an instrument anywhere, right? They don't need others. They need somebody just to teach them. Sports as well, right? Organized sports exist everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that they're great and they serve a purpose, right? But also, you know, you definitely need some other type of stimulus as well, right? Maybe, you know, more academic stimulus, like I mentioned before, right? Like actually applying certain things that you've learned in school in the form of an extracurricular activity, and then with other people as well. I think that's really key, right? Is doing it in a group, doing it with other people, doing it with other like-minded students. But yeah, I think the CGA extracurricular activities we have here are varied, and they are really set up so that, you know, it's not these like typical extracurricular activities that you'd find at all other schools with, you know, low barrier to entry. They're specialized, right? They kind of cater to students who are, you know, really want to learn more about a specific subject, specific field. They're led by our teachers who are experts in that specific field. They probably teach the subject and they've had years of experience, you know, mentoring clubs. So, you know, one that you've mentioned, right, the investing club is actually led by a professional investment, an investment professional, right? That's actually her full-time job. So she's not a teacher at CGA, but she's an investment professional. And, you know, she teaches our students all these very, very useful tips on, you know, financial analysis, right? Doing your due diligence, being able to analyze stocks, being able to analyze companies, look at their balance sheets, right? But also just, you know, kind of financial tips as well, right? Which is not commonly covered in schools. But yeah, a lot of our other clubs, you know, kind of follow this same type of pattern, is exposing students to, you know, in-depth academic subjects that might also be linked to careers as well, right? For example, we have a great psychology club that covers, you know, both the academic and, you know, more fun kind of pop culture aspects of psychology as well. All of the clubs as well will try to enter competitions. So this is another, I think, really great way to kind of hone or sharpen your interest in a subject, entering competitions.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of my dancing days. Yes. For those listeners who didn't know, I used to be a dancer.
And, I didn't know this.
It's true. But yeah, definitely entering competitions was one of those ways to kind of like get a sense of where you were against other people from around the world as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think, yeah, competitions, international competitions, if you can get involved in them, are always advantageous. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Well, I want to try and wrap things up a little bit because it's such a huge topic.
But yeah.
Is there any kind of like timeline that you would have for students, you know, throughout high school, say, for instance, you know, they're kind of middle school through to graduation, of any practical steps that they should be taking along that journey in order to, I guess, feel a little bit more confident about what their next step after high school might look like? You know, is it going out and talking to friends and family, or is it, you know, searching on YouTube, or is it watching TV shows or movies that feature, you know, perhaps not that last one, but like, do you have any practical advice for students at certain steps along their high school that you think can help them to plan for their future careers?
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, if we're thinking of a four-year high school system, right? So depending on, you know, where you're listening from, four-year high school student. So in the first 2 years of high school, and even before that, right, I would say the name of the game here really is exploration. You know, take as many different subjects as you can, right? Inside and outside of school, explore as many extracurriculars as you can, watch as many videos, right? Be exposed to as many things, right? And just, you know, make sure that you understand what's out there, right? Like, you know, it's totally okay if, like, you start off either wanting to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, right? Or a computer scientist, right? But, you know, expose yourself to 10 different careers or majors outside of those as well, even if you don't think that you'll like them, right? Or, you know, like I said, even if you don't think that you might like psychology and you haven't selected it at school, still valuable to maybe just explore like a couple of chapters of what a psychology textbook might be, or take a psychology class, like one of those free self-guided, you know, kind of courses that are widely available online. Just expose yourself to what's available out there, right? So extracurriculars as well, you know, try to join as many things as possible as your schedule allows, right? Even things that, you know, push yourself outside of your comfort zone. If you're not really sure you like public speaking or sports or volunteering, whatever, just try it, right? One day at a time. you know?
Yep.
I think that, you know, when you go from, typically for our students who are on this call, as you go from your second to your third year of high school, right, whether you're doing IB or whether you're doing, you know, A-levels or HSC or whatever it is, right, you probably have to select the courses that you're taking in your final 2 years of high school, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty monumental decision. You know, of course, you're going to be selecting subjects that you're not only good at, but might fulfill prerequisites, right, for whatever college, university programs that you'll have to apply for, right? So, you know, at the end of your second year of high school, there's probably going to be a lot of soul searching of, you know, okay, these are all the things I've learned about myself in the last 2 years, from the relationships that I have with my teachers, my friends, with my mentors, the courses that I'm taking, the extracurricular activities that I've participated in, right? The explorations that I've had outside of school. What subjects am I good at? What do I want to select? What will lead me to maybe the major that I want to study in college, right? And then I think in the last 2 years of high school, of course, you know, strong academic performance in those subjects that you selected. But also, you know, maybe one aspect of this that we haven't chatted about is, you know, there are many students, especially here at Crimson Global Academy, that want to study abroad, right? They're not necessarily tied to the idea of studying at a university in their particular country. And there are going to be universities and systems that I think cater, right, to, you know, at that point in time, right, what you want. So, you know, if you want to really be, if you're that type of student who knows what you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, right? Then choose the university, choose the system that best fits that, right? Where you can study to be a doctor or a lawyer, right? Straight out of high school, right? But, you know, if you're a student who just is passionate about everything, right? And you want more time to explore and, you know, you really benefit from learning a lot of different subjects, right? And kind of finding these interdisciplinary interests. Maybe it's about finding a university in a country that, you know, supports that type of learning, right? And exploration.
Yeah.
So,
mainly the US in that case, liberal arts, this type of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? The kind of liberal arts system in the US. But, you know, there are universities all around the world, I think, that also, you know, give students a little bit more time to kind of figure that out, right? Not just the US. Mm. I think the US is, of course, the best example of this, but any kind of like that type of liberal arts exploration kind of patterned educational system.
Yeah, I will wrap this up as well by reflecting on an article that I was helping to write yesterday about the ATAR system here in Australia.
Sure.
And how to get like a top score in that or a top rank score. And how I think a lot of students, you know, do the ATAR or do the HSC, VCE or the local state-based curriculums we have here as kind of like the default, right? Because they either don't know of any other curriculum out there or they just feel like that's the only one the school offers, that's the one they have to do. And then you get, you know, to the end of high school. And then again, students make a default choice of, well, I need to go to a local university because that's where everybody else is going to.
Sure.
And I think, you know, what you mentioned there is super, super important, is that sometimes it's like stepping back before you get into those final 2 years of high school and saying, which system suits me best? Does this curriculum that 99% of people around me are doing, is that right for me? And kind of, you know, having a look at your options. Is it A-levels? Is it IB? Is it, you know, the local state-based? And then, you know, taking that next step as well when you're in the end of high school and saying, okay, this is the system that's in front of me and that where 99% of people are going, but is it the system that suits me? And I think that's always something that students should be challenging, is the default preconceptions or assumptions that are all the time around careers. You know, oh, you're a high achieving student, you should go do med, you should go do law, right? Like, it's exactly. Crazy that, you know, the assumptions that we put onto students about their future and these types of things. So I think that's like, you know, for students out there, I'm going to finish up by saying challenge the default, essentially. Exactly. You know, always think about what suits you best as a learner and as, you know, you want for your future as well. But Bob, we could have gone into Crimson Careers and everything. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for all our different things we got going on at CGA. We've got a really cool program called Crimson Careers, which gives students a really good opportunity to sample these careers as well. But thank you, everyone, for joining. For Bob, for your wisdom and advice. And I look forward to sharing this episode far and wide.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Alex.
Thanks for listening to Top of the Class. Subscribe for future episodes. For show notes and to plan your best future, head to crimsoneducation.org.